You may be seated.
Good morning. Again, welcome to the service here this morning. Happy Father's Day to the fathers here this morning. So I was preparing or thinking about a message for today. It's Father's Day, and I thought, yeah, I should probably share a Father's Day message. And I'm going to, and I've titled my message this morning, A Father's Day Blessing. But as I was thinking about Father's Day, I started to think a little bit about where we normally go with Father's Day. And quite often, and this is not a reflection on the minister here or other ministers elsewhere, but quite often we leave a Father's Day service kind of down with the idea, man, I just ain't quite enough. So I thought this morning I'd like to share a Father's Day blessing with each of you here this morning. With the idea that as fathers, none of us are perfect. And that's okay. Because our perfection is not found here, it's found in Christ. So we're not perfect this morning. I will say this, some of us fathers are a little more goofy than others. I normally have a pretty serious mindset, but when it comes to fathering with my kids, some of our suppers at home end up in laughter, and I think the food is digesting. But having fun with my kids is a lot of what I love to do. Some of you are maybe a little more serious at your supper times, at your meal times, and that's okay. But I challenge you as dads this morning, have fun with your kids. They're going to remember that. So I want to share a message of blessing this morning. Yeah, fathers have some strange quirks. I read a story about a daughter that gave her dad a tiny little safe that looked like a paint can because he always kept his extra cash in his sock drawer. So the daughter asked mom a little bit about it. And she said, oh yes, he used it immediately. He put his money into it that he has his loose change or whatever he has. He put it into it immediately. And the daughter said, well, that's good. It'll be out in the shop. Nobody will ever find it there. Mom said, no, the paint can is in his sock drawer. We have some strange quirks, don't we? That's good. So I want us to relax this morning with the idea that this morning we want to receive a blessing from God about fatherhood. I'm going to talk this morning to you as fathers, those of you that have small children, children that are growing. I want to talk to you as grandfathers this morning. Your children are out. But you've got grandchildren. I want to talk to you as prospective fathers. Love God with all of your heart. I was trying this morning to think, I'm going to talk a lot to the fathers, and we're going to focus on fathers. But I was trying to think this morning, how can I balance this? Because I don't want to leave God out of the picture this morning, because I'm going to talk to fathers. And as I began thinking and rolling this around in my mind, it was made very clear to me that if I want to be a good, godly father, I first have to receive from my Heavenly Father. So this morning, if you're a father here and you have not yet received that, this morning there's still opportunity. I like this morning to read a scripture, and you don't have to turn to this. I'd just like to read a scripture really quick, and this is to parents. Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's a couple of verses I'd like to read real quick. It says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments. We're going to drop down to verse 4. He says there, he's talking to Israel, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Listen to verse 7. He says, and thou shalt teach them unto thy children. When? You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. When you walk by the way or in your everyday walk. When you lie down and when you rise up. Doesn't give us a whole lot of area there not to be teaching our children. Fathers, we have a huge responsibility this morning. Stephen Farr, in his book, Standing Tall, said this. He said, a godly father is the unseen spiritual submarine who lurks below the surface of every activity of his child's life. He's a man who has put on the full armor of God, and with that armor goes to warfare on his knees for his children. That is a force to be reckoned with. We cannot be with our children 24 hours a day. Through our prayers, we have the ability to affect situations even when we are not physically present. You may be undetected, but that does not mean you are ineffective. Fathers, your children, your wife need your prayers. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 22. So I was trying to discern a scripture to use this morning. It kept coming back to me, Abraham, Isaac. Abraham, Isaac. And I thought, okay, Lord, maybe there's something here. So as I began reading through Genesis 22, the story of Abraham and Isaac, I saw some things between a father and a son that I thought, wow, those are good things, things I need to pick up on. By the way, children, if you've got your notes, you're going to see numbers 1 through 7. That's not in my message this morning, but I'd like for you to write down 7 things that you like about your dad and give it to your dad. One of the things we need to realize as fathers is that we do not do this on our own. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The role we have given is not an easy role. It's a big role. It's not something to take lightly. How we teach and how we train our children is going to make a difference for good or bad. It's going to make a difference for an eternity lost or an eternity saved. And I come to you this morning not speaking to you as a dad that's perfect. I'm so far from perfect. I think each one of you would echo that. Genesis 22 verse 1. I'm going to read through this just verse by verse, a couple verses at a time. And then as I read through this, I'd like to see a point. And then I'd like to bless you as fathers this morning. Genesis 22 verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. This word tempt here has to do with he tried him. It was a trial. It was a testing. And he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Fathers, God is calling you to something in your life. Every one of us, he calls us. Here he was talking to Abraham. Abraham answered him. He said, behold, here I am. Fathers, your children are watching you. They detect more than what we know they do, more than what we think they do. They're watching you. And as God speaks to them, it's so important that you answer. As you answer, you're teaching your children what it is to hear God and what it is to answer and to walk in what God desires of you. So this morning, I want to bless you, fathers. Those of you that hear God, those of you that answer quickly, your children see that. I want to bless you in that. You are to be applauded for that. Let's go to verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Think about this, dads. God asked Abraham to take his only son. I want you to take him 50 miles, build an altar, lay him on that altar and sacrifice him. Do you think Abraham loved his son? Very dearly. Abraham prayed for a son. God gave him and Sarah a son. He loved him so much that God took notice. Fathers, as you love your children, God takes notice. And I applaud you for that. It's not popular today to love our kids. Kids are a burden. No, kids are not a burden. Kids are a great joy. Love your children, and I applaud you in that. Let's go to verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Instant obedience. Abraham didn't hear the voice of God and say, now tomorrow morning I'm going to sleep in a little bit. I'm going on a trip. It doesn't hurt if I wait a little bit. He didn't question God. But it says he rose up early in the morning and prepared to leave. How willing am I to obey when it's going to cost me something as a father? Fathers, I bless those of you who obey instantly, regardless of the cost, because there's cost involved. I bless you in that. Let's go to verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. They were traveling 3 days, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Fathers, if there's nothing else that you catch this morning, I want you to catch this one. Abraham took his son with him. It says there in verse 5, and I and the lad, I and my son, will go yonder and worship. Abraham taught his son about worship. Dads, we have so many opportunities in our homes. Let's talk for a minute here about family worship. Let's talk a little bit about getting our children together in the evening into our living room. Maybe it's out on the porch or somewhere together as a family. We take the Word of God and we open the Word of God and we read together. We talk about what's in the Word, teaching our children how to walk, how to live. I bless those of you fathers who do that. Maybe there's times that we sing. Maybe there's times you found something, kind of a video that has to do with growing in Christ that you like to show the family. I applaud you fathers that take time out for this. My dad would never, I don't care if we left already and we got into bed, there would be a call up the stairs. Time for prayer. If you were in bed, you got out of bed and went downstairs. That was important to my dad. I'm so thankful for that. Worship in the home is not only family worship. Worship in the home is how you live every day. Worship is what you say when you hit your thumb. Your children hear that. Your children see that. Who am I worshiping? Who is the greatest in my life? If you were to ask my two children, they could tell you. I'm a little scared of you asking them. But if you were to ask my two children here this morning, the ones that are still with us in the house, who's the greatest in my life? I would really hope it would be positive. Fathers, I bless those of you who have made God first. I bless you. If somebody could come and ask your kids, who does your dad love? Who does he put first? I bless those of you who your children wouldn't even hesitate. Those of you that are looking into the future of being fathers, don't wait to worship until you're fathers. Worship now. Build that base. Grow in God. So when you have children of your own, it just comes, I don't know if I want to say natural, but it's because you've done this for so long, you've loved the Lord. Let's go to verse 6. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both of them went together. So I look at this, I see Abraham, he's including his son in what he's doing. He even put the wood, possibly on his son's back, I'm not sure how they did, but his son carried the wood. He included his son in what they were doing. So what if my son or my daughter decides that they want to go a little bit of a different direction in their line of work? What if my children don't want to go to the trailer factory? What if my children don't want to do lawn care like I did for so long? And I think I should have something I can hand to them. What if your children don't want to be farmers, Leon? Can I bless my children? Because God has given them something different than He's given me. Can I bless my daughter or my son when they head a different direction than I did with my vocation? You see, God uses us in so many different ways. God has a purpose for your children. If they go a different direction in that, bless them. And I want to honor you parents that are blessing your children. Maybe they're not following the exact route that you would want them to go in their vocation. Bless them. Maybe you need to help them study, research. What direction should I go in this? But I bless you, fathers, that are helping your children go a different direction if that's how they choose. Help them navigate life. Let's go to verse 7. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father. I'm sorry, I think I read that, didn't I? No, I didn't. Verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? How many of you parents get tired of your kids continually asking questions? They're about this tall. Dad, why? And you've given them an answer, but why that? And they continue to ask questions. Let me ask you a question. Ask myself a question. What if my kids would never ask questions? Would they learn? What an opportunity. What an opportunity we have as children ask questions. Yeah, maybe it's the same thing over and over. Maybe they continually ask. But what a blessing to see a dad come over to get down on his knees to one of his children and look him right into the eyes and answer the same question 10 times. How many times have I come to God and I ask Him why? And never once did He push me back. But He continually gives me an answer. Dads, I applaud you for those of you who are patient with your children. Even though they ask you questions many, many times, you answer them with love. And your child is not scared to come back and ask again because Dad is going to love him regardless. I applaud you for that. Take the time to answer your children's questions. I know from experience that they leave real quick. We think 22 years, 21 years is a short time. Or a long time. It's a short time. Children are out of the home before you know it. Love them. verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood on the altar, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And this is where I begin feeling not so good. When I think about Abraham taking his son, he tied him up and he laid him onto the altar, and then he takes the knife. And he holds that knife above his son to slay him. Dads, how much do you love your children this morning? Abraham loved his son so deeply. He was so thankful for his son. But there was something else that took place in Abraham's heart. He loved God more. Dads, if you want to love your sons this morning with a love that is so deep, you have to love God first. He has to be your priority. If God is not your priority, the love for your sons and daughters is not going to be as it should be. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I'm guessing to Isaac, it just did not make sense. Really, Dad? Really, you're going to slay me? But Abraham's faith was so deep that he knew, God, if you take my son, you will give him back to me again. We can see that in Scripture. I believe it's in Hebrews. Abraham had a complete trust and faith in God. He was willing to obey God in every detail of his life. Fathers, I bless you this morning for showing, for living out daily, that you're heeding the Holy Spirit, even when it doesn't make sense. The essence of our worship is not in the praise songs we sing, but it is in the hearts that are willing to live in obedience to the Holy Spirit, even when we don't understand. Again, fathers, I applaud you for teaching your children the importance of living in true obedience. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. I can imagine Isaac at this point as he hears God's voice calling the angel that talked to him. I can imagine Isaac all of a sudden, Dad, listen. Wait a minute, Dad. Abraham was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Abraham was, I say, to the Holy Spirit, to his father. Abraham was sensitive to the voice of God. As soon as when he had that knife raised, as soon as that voice was there, he stopped. What if he would have continued? I'm going to finish my job and then God, I'll hear you then. But he didn't. As soon as he heard the angel, he stopped and he listened. And Isaac was glad that he stopped. He was tuned in. He was listening to the voice of God, the voice of direction. This was rescue. God is our rescuer. We cannot do this on our own. God is our deliverer. Fathers, we need to live that out to our children. So I applaud you for how you show your children how to rely on God's deliverance. Think about the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. The deliverer brought them through. What the children saw in all of this. We need deliverance. And I bless you, fathers, for relying on God's deliverance. And Abraham, verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Remember verse 7 and 8. God had made a promise to Abraham. So now Abraham calls this place Jehovah Jireh. God has seen or God will provide. So many times as dads, yes, we are the providers in our homes. But as dads, it looks to our children like it's just dad doing all of it. He's bringing home the bacon. Our children need to realize that because of God, we can do that. Thank you, fathers, for showing to your children that the provisions that you have, that we have, are from God. I had to think this morning, I asked Danny if I can just share a little bit. I had to think this morning about Danny. This is Danny's first Father's Day without his father. Danny's got a lot of good memories. What's next Father's Day going to bring? We're not promised, are we? Let's love our kids right now. Let's be fathers that teach them all about our Father. The end of the story, verse 15 through 19. I'd like to read through that real quick. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I have one more thing I'd really like to share with you. Actually, I missed verse 19. I'm sorry. Let me read that. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Abraham and his son and the servants heading back again. And I'm guessing as they walked back, there was such a closeness between father and son. Because they went together, there was a trial. The dad showed his son how to work through that trial, how to be victorious. And they worshiped together. Now as they walk back together, I can imagine them being, I don't know, it was arm in arm, how they did this. But there was something there that they took back with them that they didn't have when they came. I bless you, fathers, for worshiping with your children. One more thing, fathers. Love your wives. Love your wives. If you want your children to grow up with security in your home, show affection to your wife. Because they're watching. They see that affection that happens between the two of you. That brings security into a home. And if we want our children to see the Father, they need to be secure. I bless you, fathers, for loving your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. A beautiful thought to think about the fact that God loved us long before we loved him. And now we have the opportunity right now to show that love as fathers to our children. There's a void that has been placed inside each one of us. And that void can only be filled with the presence of God. And fathers, it's important that we explain to our children what that void is all about. How that void can be filled. You have a high calling, fathers. A very high calling. Step into it knowing that you have a father that loves you, that leads you. As we experience the love of our Father, then it is that we become equipped to be with dads. And then we can say with the apostle in 3 John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is by Billy Graham. He said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. God bless us as fathers. Let's stand for closing prayer. Father God, this morning, We thank you so much for the blessing of having you as our Father, as our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for the children that you've put into our homes. Thank you for our wives. Lord, we are so blessed. We have so much to be thankful for. Lord, I pray for each one of the fathers here this morning, the grandfathers, the prospective fathers. Lord, lay on our hearts a strong desire to be men of integrity, men that love, men that desire to pass on what you've given us. Bless each one that's here this morning. Thank you also, Lord, for the mothers and for each one that's here this morning, each one that is a child, is a son, is a daughter. Lord, we're all needed. And we pray your blessing on our congregation here this morning. Lord, would you dismiss us with your blessing? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.